For Storytelling Month, I'm so glad Karen was our scripture reader to bring such life to these stories. Thank you, Karen. And just a heads up on where we're at. This morning we are finishing our road trip sermon series that was our July trek through scriptures. And next week with August, we're going to try something new. I know these are very scary words in the church. Change and new things and things that are different make us a little uneasy, but it's going to be okay. We're going to be doing 4 weeks of what we are calling Theo Talks that are based loosely off of the TED Talks that are out there. And we're going to cover four theological terms in the church that we don't tend to talk about quite as often, or at least not into the definition of the word: salvation, justice, evangelism, and discipleship. And each week will feature 2 to 3 speakers. I'll be in 3 out of 4 of those, and we'll even have some young people in there to bring a little variety of thinking and theology on these, to see what we can get when we hear multiple perspectives on these topics. And so we're going to have a little bit of fun and a little bit of enlightenment in there, and I hope that you will all be here to hear those. But with that, before we get to next month, let's finish this month. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I will tell you, one of the worst things you can do to me being somebody that spends a lot of time in my car, I've spent a lot of time commuting, I've spent a lot of time driving long distances, like I mentioned, that whole trek all the way around the country, and probably the worst thing that you can do is turn off my radio. I need my music. That's what helps soothe me and get me through those hours and those long drives, and just makes it more enjoyable and easier to get through. Are any of you like this? And you might be somebody, it might not be music, maybe it's NPR, or maybe it's sports talk radio, or maybe it's books on tape, whatever it is that fills that vehicle. I hope you're somebody like me, that you have something that fills it to help you get through that time. And when you get in, you just kind of can relax a little bit because of what's there, especially the good stuff, however you define that. Well, it takes new meaning in a week like this with VBS. I'll tell you, I've been involved with VBS my entire life, going to VBS as a kid. My mom always volunteered, and so it was always extra hours at VBS until I got to volunteer. And then eventually when I was youth directing, I was directing VBS and running the whole thing and then being a pastor with that. And I've always loved VBS, but music was not always my favorite aspect of it. I'm not a really good singer, and I'm really not a good dancer, as the kids got to learn. Pastor does not have moves, despite what Hula Hoop videos tried to show this morning. I cannot believe you included that, Trist. When I had kids that started to go to VBS, all of a sudden music took a new meaning. Being in small church and with very limited volunteer resources, unlike the masses we have here to help, I found myself having to lead the music part of it. That's where you say, God bless those children that had to have that happen to them. And for me to be able to learn that music and desperately needing my kids to know that music so they could be energetic ones knowing it, at the beginning of the week, Sunday, we would pop the VBS CD into my van, and all week long, it is nothing but VBS music. And what are we doing in that van? But the VBS music is going for hours a day, because that's about how long we spent in the car. And we're in that car singing at the top of our lungs, doing all of the hand motions right there in the car. Doesn't matter if people are laughing at you when you get to the stop sign. You're doing those motions because you got to learn them. But what was really neat about that is it meant during VBS week, when that CD was on, and for however many days or weeks I could stand still having VBS music afterwards, what was happening, but me and my kids were in the van worshiping together and praising God and laughing and just having the best of times. No matter what adult jumped in the car, you're doing VBS music with us. You know, we had a little panic on Thursday when we realized that I was supposed to print the pictures for the picture frames. And in the mass hysteria of tie-dye shirts and having workers at the parsonage, I'd forgotten to print the pictures. Well, I didn't want to disappoint our craft ladies, and I didn't want the craft to not have pictures. So here Wednesday and I are frantically running to Walgreens to try to print 100 pictures all at once. Well, we get in the car, and what's in there? But the VBS music. So what happened? But here's Wednesday and I in the car. We're driving down Sepulveda Boulevard. Oh, unstoppable. And we got people going, what are you doing? It's VBS week, folks. We're having a great time. Doesn't matter how stressed we were getting in the car. You get in the car and that music goes on and things are going so much better. I will make you all a copy of VBS music and you can all, unstoppable, yeah? No? Okay. Anyways, this leads us into our scripture of this morning, of that panicked moment, things not going right, where we get in life. So here's Paul, and at this point, he's working alongside Silas. And they've been at Lydia's house, and they're out preaching the gospel, they're doing what God has called them to do, and they get into this town, and there's a slave girl who is possessed. And in that possession is able to be telling fortunes. Well, the owners have realized they can make money off of this. And so they have her out there on the street making money by telling people's fortune. Well, when Paul and Silas comes into town, she starts screaming at them. They're the ones, they're the slaves of that God that's trying to save people. And she's just relentless in this day after day. And we get to the point in the story where Paul shows that road rage that we looked at last week. And it says he got so annoyed, he just snapped. Well, so many of us, we talked about last week, when we snap, it can be shouting or cursing at somebody or honking our horn or cutting them off, whatever it might be. When we snap, well, Paul snaps. And when he snaps and that road rage comes out of him, what does he do? But he expels that demon out of her. Get out of that woman. And immediately it does just that. He snaps so much, he heals a woman. You see how that works? Now that's what I call road rage. But here this happens, and he expels that demon out of her. But what happens? But the owners just lost their money source, didn't they? And they get furious. How dare you take that demon out of her? How dare you ruin a good thing that we had going? And so they do the footwork, and they get Paul and Silas arrested and thrown into prison. So here's Paul and Silas. They're in there unjustly. I mean, how do you go to prison for healing someone? But that's what happened. They were preaching good news. They were telling people how they could be saved. They were healing people, and they get thrown into prison. So here in this frustrated, panicking moment where they could be shouting, they could be so upset, they could be, God, you know, we're doing exactly what you told us to do. Why in the world do you have us in these chains in prison? I mean, and notice that. So dangerous that they healed somebody, that not only did they have bars locked, but chains on them, shackled in like terrorists. But here they are. And what does our scripture say that they do? In this stuck place, not knowing what's going to come to them. Are they going to try to take their life like they took Jesus's? Are they going to be in there for life? What's going to happen? But they're not panicking. They're not upset. What do they do? It says they get down on their hands and knees and they worship God. They're singing hymns and praying. They're praising God despite being shackled and locked up for a crime that's not a crime. You ever been in that place? That shackled, locked up place where you feel like you're totally stuck? You feel like you're in a place you don't deserve? A place where you're shackled by stress or frustration or loneliness or aches and pains? That you're shackled by circumstances that are out of your control? And you just feel like you're locked down by it. We all get into these places every so often. These places where we just feel stuck. Well, the natural human response is to shout out and get angry at God, to pull out that jug, God, why in the world would you do this to me? Why would you let me be in this place? Why are you making me go through this? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you answering my prayers? Why aren't you being faithful to do what I need done, that I'm having to go through this? It seems justifiable. But what does the scripture teach us? When we get into these places, these stuck, imprisoned, trapped places that we don't want to be, instead of getting upset at God, instead of getting angry, instead of lashing out, instead of just giving up, but to get down on our knees and worship and praise God. It's that moment, like I said, in the car. I mean, do you have that song or that type of music or that something that comes on and fills the air and it just kind of gets down into your bones and you can't help but feel better? I mean, do you have those songs? I'm really hoping you do. I've got certain ones, and no matter how crummy my day, no matter how frustrated with the kids I am, no matter how late I'm running, no matter that the church is burning down and I'm fired, okay, we're not doing that one though. No matter what's going on, if it comes onto my radio, all of a sudden it just melts away. And life is so much better in that moment because I can't help but badly sing along to it, out of tune, but I don't care because it's my song that's on. And I see it happen in reality outside the car too, because I've seen this service in this last year where it feels like in the first part, the wheels are just coming off. I've completely failed to follow the order in the bulletin. Things just aren't going right. I'm saying all the names wrong. I didn't do what I wanted to do with the kids. And it seems like things are just unraveling. And then this group over here stands up and the beauty of God's Spirit comes out of them and just fills this space, and all of a sudden, the ship is righted, God is in control, and the rest of the service just runs smooth. It happens every time. Every time I'm like, oh my gosh, why is this going the way it's going? And then the music comes. It might be the choir, it might be an offertory from Midori or one of our soloists, and things just are okay from there. Because that's what happens in the tough times. When instead of getting upset or angry or lashing out or giving up, we turn and worship God, God is able to right the ship where we know, I'm gonna get through this too. This is gonna pass. Things are gonna be okay because you know why? Because I feel God's presence with me. So that ship gets righted. Look what happened in the story. They get down on their knees and they praise and worship God. And with a violent earthquake, the doors fling open and their shackles come off. God says, I've got this. Your hearts are in the right place. You're here praising me. You're giving me your worship. And I'm providing for you. But then look at the extra miracle that happens because of the action that they're taking. When those doors fly open, the jailer sees them open, and what happens? But he's ready to commit suicide. He's a Roman soldier, and his job is to keep the prisoners in. And believing that he's failed his task, he knows the only option is to take his life instead of being shamed, instead of taking the punishment that would come. And here he draws his knife and is ready to take that act, and Paul shouts out to him, stop! We're all still here. You haven't failed. The shackles are gone. The doors are open. But we're still sitting here. And what happens? But that jailer looks at them and says, okay, how do I get saved? How do I turn my life to the God that you have that much faith in? He turns his life over to Christ. He takes them home to break bread with his family, and they all rejoice in God together because of that act of worship within that cell. How do we take that into our lives? When it seems the wheels are coming off, when it seems it's just thing after thing, when it seems like we're just shackled and stuck, the worst it gets, may we be down deeper on our knees, giving worship and praise to God and blessing him in that. That song that the kids sang, 10,000 Reasons, that's what it's about. No matter what's going on in life, I have 10,000 reasons to bless God and praise him. 10,000 things I can say thank you, God, for, no matter what else is going on. To allow in that moment, when our hearts are praising God, for him to unshackle us, for him to open the bars up, and allow us a way to rejoice and be blessed by him, no matter what's going on. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that though this world doesn't always happen according to our plan, though our day does not always go the way we want it to, though our body does not always behave in the way we want it to, that sometimes it just seems like everything is too much. We thank you because despite any of those circumstances, that you are still a God who is blessing us, that you are still a God that is taking care of us, that you are still a God that is loving us, and that you are still a God who is worthy to be praised and to be blessed by us. When life gets tough, may we find ourselves on our knees, finding just the right soundtrack to help lift our spirits, to turn our hearts and our eyes towards you, and to praise you so that you can unshackle us and help us to feel joy in your presence in all we do, each and every day. For this we lift in your holy name. Amen.